Welcome to the BeastNet Podcast, proudly presented by the Beast Obstacle Course Racers and sponsored by GH Under's Performance Base Layers. Here we discuss all things athleticism to obstacle course racing, endurance to nutrition, our team, and more. Welcome to BeastNet.
Hey everyone, this is Adam Brigenhart with Beast OCR here on BeastNet today. Thank you so much for tuning in. We've got kind of a fun and ridiculous one today. We've got the trifecta of troubles, the troublesome trio, and more other uncouth things, I could say. So on the phone, we've got Mr. Mike James. He is our BeastNet MC and the man behind the curtain that puts everything together. Super good dude, getting ready to run his first marathon before his 40th birthday. So that's some pretty exciting stuff. And then, and on as well, we have Mr. Zane Wendigo Treewalker, which is his full legal birth name. And there's some more in there too. And Zane is not just the all-around badass and knows how to mix you a special beverage, but he has been in the thick of it with some of the toughest events that I've seen. And all-around badass, OG Beast.
Yep.
I do my best.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun episode, just kind of getting to know each other. All right. So basically, I mean, kind of what we wanted to do with this episode is really let the audience know who we are and why we do this and what you can expect from the BeastNet, because I kind of see the three of us are going to be the core group of this BeastNet thing, and then we're going to have more players coming in and just kind of, yeah, let everyone know what we're all about. So, I mean, really, I mean, you guys have all met me. I've been on all the episodes. So, I mean, you kind of know me. Adam's been on a couple, and then Zane's kind of the newcomer. So let's let Zane talk for a second, kind of tell us what he's all about.
All right. Yeah. So, I don't know where to begin or how long it'll take to end. I came into Beast, I want to say like mid-2015, and I just kind of dabbled here and there and really dove in headstrong beginning of 2016, I guess. I was just kind of looking for some other people interested in the same stuff as me, OCR, anything athletic. I threw something up on the page one day. I think we were going to, it must have been Seattle. I think it was a Seattle Beast or maybe Super. I can never keep track of which is which anymore.
Yeah, there's so many of them.
In the first year, they kind of switched it around on us. I think it was the fall of 2015, and I threw something up. Hey, anybody want to share a room, ride share, whatever? And a couple of guys, Patrick Olson, hit me up, said, hey, I'm driving up from Oregon. And that was my first real experience staying with a stranger to begin with, and my first real experience staying with somebody from the Beast team. And, man, we hit it off.
I say, you started with Patrick, because that must have been an interesting experience.
Yeah. So me and Patrick have a pretty close bond. We really kind of kicked it off the same time with Beast OCR and really jumped in, and we hit it off really well. 3-hour drive up north, and like I said, it's just been a wildfire since then. And Beast has been taking off. My involvement with Beast has taken off. So now I lead the PX area Beast Squad once a month with my partner Lorenzo, and it's really exciting to be a bigger part of the team, and especially how fast and how strong we're growing.
Yeah, we are. And it's always fun. I have to say this. It's always so much fun to wait and see your pictures of you and Lorenzo together. You guys are like you're almost like the in-shape Jay and Silent Bob. You're like hetero life partners that are just out there having a blast. It is hilarious.
Yeah. We try to keep it fresh and fun. We try to do the races as fast as we can and kind of goof around at the same time. So we're not being too serious about it. We like to involve people on the course in our craziness, you know, get some good laughs.
Yeah.
Cheer people up. A lot of people they're huffing wind out there. And there's moments of each race that sucks a little bit for everybody. And if we can do something to kind of cheer people up and make them have fun and realize that it's not all about being serious 100% of the time, then we will absolutely do whatever we can to make that happen.
Oh, yeah. I've heard plenty of stories where they talk about these two crazy guys out on course, and I'm like, you've got to be talking about Zane and Lorenzo. I've heard of snowball fights. I've heard of snowball fights in Canada, and there was the kissing in the dunk wall. That picture's amazing, by the way. So there's been some good ones.
We had to go, as Adam called it, we had to go full Tedderium and kind of get them back a little bit for all their kissy pictures.
What's funny is I think that one of the best pictures I have is from Seattle, I think last year, or maybe it was this year, the Seattle Sprint, and I'm laughing in the barbed wire. And it's because I'm making fun of Elise and Jeff, who were making out pretty much in front of me for the photographer, and I was telling them to get a room. And the photographer got a picture of me just laughing while I was saying it, and it's probably like the best Spartan picture I've ever got. But
that's awesome.
Yeah, see, I need to find a hetero life mate like that. Yeah. See, because my wife will never do a Spartan, so I'm never going to get that pick, you know, kiss on the dunk wall unless I find somebody else to do it with. So, yeah. So, Adam, you want to run a race together?
Yeah, are we going to make out in the pit?
Yes, we are. Yes.
I mean, I don't judge, man. Let's do this.
Let's do this. You know, now that we said this, Adam.
A random person to pop up under the wall and just slap a kiss on them, but, you know, 5-0 might be waiting for you at the end of the race.
They might be.
Nice warm
cell. I was gonna say though, now that we said this, Adam, you know, people are gonna expect it at the next race.
Well, this past one, right after we did the whole dunk wall kiss, you know, if we go back to Montana, so in Montana, we were like, all right, let's go run the sprint. We weren't going for time or anything. We were just gonna have fun, kind of fly through it, and we did. And along the way, we're like, all right, let's do some stupid pictures. Every time there's a photographer, let's just do something stupid. So we did, and that's where, like, the pooping in the bucket picture was, and this is where the whole thing started. And we're at the top of the mountain by the A-frame cargo, and, we were at the top of the log carry, actually. The photographer's there, we put our logs down, and it just turned out perfect. It was foggy, it was misty, it was just a crazy picture. We stood back-to-back, did a little like Charlie's Angels kind of thing, you know.
Yeah, I saw those ones.
So that's where it all started. And, I don't know. We were throwing the pictures up on Instagram or something. We're like, man, what should we call these? And we've been going through the hurricane heats all year. Every time we go anywhere that has a hurricane heat, we're in the hurricane heat. And we've become well-known amongst the groups. And we kind of raise a little hell here and there while we're kicking ass, and so we said, man, let's call it Dingo's Angels. Let's just flip him a little shit, you know, kind of get a good laugh out of him and
that is
him
good.
A little bit. And so this Dingo's Angels thing has just taken off, and it's been silly and ridiculous. And so leading back to this past race, we come through the dunk wall, we did a little kissy picture, and then right as we're coming out of the dunk wall, we see Dingo about 20 paces in front of us. And he's heading into the porta potty. And Elise is standing right there. She's working the water station. So she's like, hey, come take a picture with us. Like, oh, man, we will definitely. We just saw Dingo go in the bathroom. So we throw up our Charlie's Angels poses, you know, our Dingo's Angels on each side of the porta potty. And he has no idea we're even there. I'm sure by now he is just like, man, these guys are stupid. And they're everywhere just following me around. And, so he comes out of the porta potty, and we're both there posted up. So we got pictures of this. I don't know if everybody's seen them yet, but they're golden.
I haven't seen those ones yet.
The door opens. I could feel like the weirdness in the air. And he was just like, "Oh my god, you guys!" You know, and he just totally caught him off guard, and it was great. It was hilarious.
Oh yeah, Dingo's one of my favorites. I love Dingo. I mean, he's one that keeps me. He keeps me going and keeps me motivated, so he's great. So him and Steve Hammond.
Yeah, he had a great sense of humor. It was just fun to like involve him in our madness, you know.
Well, he's the one that came up with my nickname, a Pretty Mike. So because one of the hurricane heats, we went through it through the whole thing. He actually wasn't even the cadre. He was one of us, one of the hurricane heat participants, and he just kept calling me Pretty Mike through the whole thing. He called me Pretty Mike and Ted Kelly, or Ted, yeah, whatever. Well, he was calling him Freak Show. That's where the Freak Show came from.
Yeah.
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 So.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is. And the one thing about Zane, too, is Zane has had the funny pictures for a while, because if you've never seen the picture of him riding his fiance now, I think, the barbed wire, that is one of my favorites. Considering the story goes, didn't you tell her she...
Washougal 2016.
I think so. And isn't that the one where you told her that you couldn't marry her unless she actually did a Spartan?
Well, that's actually how I got her to do the Spartan race. you know, I didn't used to have a lot of friends into athletic mindset, and it always kind of bothered me. You know, I was always yearning for these friends that just had this type A personality, or at least wanted to go out and be athletic and try crazy stuff. And most of my friends are all gamers and couch potatoes, so I didn't have that. So it kind of bothered me that the woman I was planning to spend the rest of my life with had no idea about any of this stuff that I was just madly in love with, aside from her. You know, this sport that just stole me away and drove me crazy. And I told her one day that I could not marry a woman who was not a Spartan, and I believe it was probably within a day or two that she was signed up to do the Washougal Sprint with me. I'm unsure. I think she almost hated every step of it, and loved it at the same time, because it drove her and it pushed her, as it does all of us, outside of her comfort zone, and kind of taught her a little bit about herself. Now, that being said, she has not done a second one yet, and I'm not sure she will, but it was nice to get that out of the way and at least share that thing in common, so that she knows what I go and do every weekend when I'm away and out of town. And so we're going through the barbed wire crawl, and she was just slugging away, huffing wind, and I'm running alongside her and trying to motivate her and keep her moving faster, and the photographer was right there. And I don't know, I weird things pop into my head at all hours of the day. And I stood up, and I just got on her back rodeo style and threw up one hand, put the other hand on her shirt, and the photographer was laughing his ass off, got some great pics, and those were pretty
awesome.
Pretty hilarious, man. Good. Yeah.
They were, because I know in Hawaii that while we were running, your fiance, my wife, were pretty much hanging out the whole time while we were going through our fun. So,
Yeah,
they're like, yeah, you guys have fun. We're going to go sit on the beach.
Yeah. Well, it was nice that they both went, because they each had somebody to spend time with when we were out doing our thing.
Because I know that was the thing Amber had an issue with the first year, was the fact that while I was out running, she had no one to spend time with. And that's one of the fun things about the group, is you get stuff like that where it's like, hey, you know, my wife's not running, and someone's like, oh, well, my spouse isn't, or boyfriend or girlfriend isn't either, they can do this together while we go, you know, have our fun. So, which is cool.
Yeah, it was great. It was a good trip.
Yeah, it was. I'm doing it again this year, because some fatty didn't finish all three races, so I've got to go try again. So
third time's a charm, man.
Yep, and that's one thing, is this year I've got to hold myself accountable. I mean, this right before we left for Hawaii, I quit smoking, like the day before we got on the plane. So next year I should have that going for me, because I still haven't smoked. So,
good.
You know,
good for you, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's my goal this next year, is to get that trifecta in a weekend. I need to drop some pounds. I need to hold myself accountable and not get injured and stay healthy all year and no smoking and just do it. So.
Absolutely.
Yep. Should be good. And I just spent money on new shoes and insoles, so that should help too. So, because that was my problem in Hawaii. By the end of the second race, my feet were so blistered, I couldn't walk. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hawaii was a rough course this year.
It was.
People talked it up, thought that it was going to be easy and simple, you know, and you're running in paradise. And none of that was true.
No, it wasn't.
Theory was amazing. That is true. It was hotter than sin. It was humid, muggy. It just tore me apart, just the heat and the humidity alone.
Yeah, and I'm not sure how to train for that, you know, and that was my biggest problem. I overheated so bad during the Beast that it was ridiculous. I mean, I kept, every time I found water, I was climbing into it trying to cool my body off. And I don't know, that's the thing, I don't know how to train for, and that's what I'm the most worried about next year.
Absolutely.
Is how to deal with that.
I felt like I was drinking all of my Camelback, and no matter how much water I drank, I just continued feeling thirsty because the water was not cold.
Yep.
It just didn't quench the thirst, and of course, then you struggle with drinking too much water, and you get pain. It was a tough one.
It
was a very mental course for me.
Yeah, and that was the thing, like, Saturday during the Beast, that a lot of people that don't realize, like, our group, you know, not you, you were doing the Ultra Beast because you're insane, but our group, you know, Brandon and all those guys, we had almost 7 miles without water because two of the water stations were down. They were out of water when we got there, and we were out of water in our packs, so we were, like, starting to dehydrate as well because we didn't have water, so that was scary, but, you know, we made it.
And
we made it. The end of it was interesting, trying to find somebody with a headlamp because somebody, the person who was supposed to bring their headlamp, me, put it in the wrong pack. So, yeah, it was all said, okay, we need the headlamp now. And I'm like, it's not here. So that was interesting. But we always find a way and we make it work. So,
absolutely.
So, what have you got coming up, Ben?
Yeah. Funny you said that. I was literally about to say, what's next for you, thing?
Yeah.
What is next? Oh, man. Well, next we go to L.A. We're in Castaic for the 12-hour hurricane heat down there, the final one of the year, and the final event to round off our season. I'm looking forward to that. I'm a little nervous. I've been dealing with some medical setbacks and some injuries, and that's been kind of a pain towards the end of this season. But I think it's going to be a great event, and I'm going to suck it up and rock it out. And that'll give me my hurricane trifecta, if you will. The only true hurricane trifecta. I think there's, what, 36 of us that finished the 24-hour hurricane heat, the only one they've done so far. So with that, the 12, and, of course, the regular. I'm excited to
count that off,
and that'll be a great finish to the year. Yeah. And then, of course, moving into January, first thing of the new season will be Ghost, our own Beast endurance event. So I'm really excited about that, man. That's going to be great.
That, it sounds like it's going to be fun. I don't know. It sounds like something I want to do, but I just don't think I'm ready for it.
Those are the best events to do. I feel 90% of the time when I go into an event that I'm not ready for it. Now, maybe that's because I'm a terrible procrastinator.
I am too.
But it's a little more exciting. It adds some adventure when you're feeling like you're not ready. When I went to the 24, I was not sure what the heck I was doing there. I had no real game plan other than I continually pounded into my brain for several weeks leading up to it that I was without a doubt going to be standing there at the finish at 5 p.m. the following day. And, I think when you believe that way, you are mentally going to make everything else fall into place during an event. Not that you shouldn't train, obviously, but I think going into an event and you don't feel ready for it, the very least thing that you will come out of that with is still the knowledge of how to train in the future for a similar event, and you will always learn something about yourself, whether you finish or not. And I think it's still a good experience. So don't totally discount yourself yet.
My biggest worry with it is, I know with the way you've explained Ghosts that it's a more of a team-based thing, which I know, like, the hurricane heats I've done, because I've only done the 4 hours, they've always been team-based, but it's never been, like, against another team. And my biggest worry is that I know I'm not one of the best, most physically active ones out there. I'm working on it, trying to fix some things, injuries. I've let injuries get into my head to make me even worse than I should have been. And I'm worried that if I go into this, that I'm going to be that weakest link that is dragging my team back. And I don't want to be that guy. What's that?
Always going to be a weaker link if you look at it that way. There's always somebody is going to be the weak link. Not everybody is going to be on the same page every step of the way. However, as a team, I feel like you fit together like the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle. Some people might be pack mules more than other people and be able to carry heavy weight for long. you look at just like the Hurricane Heats, we have Patrick Olsen out there, great guy, and I mean, he's quick, he hauls ass, and he's fast through the obstacles. And then there's those of us, I'm not that fast, I'm a pretty slow runner, unfortunately, but I can pack a lot of weight for a long time and just kind of suck it up and dig deep. So yeah, I don't know, I mean, it's in a true team environment, nobody is really going to be upset with anybody who's lacking in one area or another, at least in my mind.
Yeah.
I'm always willing to suck up a little extra punishment to have friends out there.
Yeah, I just always worry that, I don't know, I guess it's because I always look bad at myself anyway, that I always feel like I'm going to be that guy that everyone at the end of it's like, well, we wouldn't have won if it wasn't for Fatty over there, you know?
Luckily, we come with a pretty strong, supportive group of people, and I know. Anybody amongst our team is going to say that, at least not to your face.
Yeah, I know,
yeah. Text you later and be like, thanks, Fatty, but, you know.
Yeah. I know. It's just kind of one of those things. Like I said, I think I've been really hard on myself for the last couple of years. I mean, ever since I had the foot injury, I mean, I was finally getting into the shape I wanted to and starting to lose the weight and do everything else. And then the foot injury slowed me down. And then I had injury after that. And I've kind of let those injuries, like I said, get into my head. And now I'm probably almost the biggest I've ever been. So I'm trying to get out of that and fix that. But I've let those get into my head, and that's like the hardest thing for me is getting back out of my head and actually fixing my issue.
Yeah. Dealing with injuries is tough. No doubt about that. It is. Well, and I think, you know, no matter what happens, someone's going to get hurt at some point in time, right? No matter what we're doing, racing or not. And I think it's how we deal with it, right? You know, I think, you know, in regards to Ghost kind of backing up a little bit, I think you're ready, man. You know, I've worked with you before in a hurricane. I've seen you go and tackle things. Regardless of where you're at, I think it's more, I mean, yeah, you know, you want to have your body ready as much as possible when it comes to team event. It's not just, you know, who's the guy that's lagging behind. It's how are we going to tackle this together? And I think you've got that part down. I think you'd be an ass to have.
Absolutely.
And on top of that, you're always, I mean, you're kind of you're a goofball, man. And, that positivity and, you know, the ability to find the humor in things, even when life is at its shittiest moment, that keeps not only yourself driving along, but keeps the whole team going. Anytime throughout the hurricane heat, I mean, we goof around, you know. And there's moments when I'm not having fun and I make jokes about myself, just make jokes about how the moment sucks that I'm in. And you definitely have that positive, humorous mindset that I think will help not only yourself, but the rest of the group to stay positive and stay focused.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's something I got to think about and do. I mean, I think a lot of it for me right now is I've thought about it a little bit, but my mind is really right now on next Sunday that I'm going to die, but
yeah,
I mean,
well, I don't think at any point that you will be running nonstop for 26 miles during Ghost. At least I hope not.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm signing up for. I hate running.
So
if that happens, you're doing it wrong.
That's what I told everyone. That's why I like played baseball as a kid. I ran 90 feet at a time and that was it. The only time I had to run more than 90 feet is if I hit a double. And that's why everyone's like, you know, everyone's like, oh, you should play soccer. And I'm like, you want me to run around a field for an hour and a half and kick up? No. I don't run. I like to, like, I'll sprint for 90 feet. After that, I'm done. Even as a kid. And, yeah.
I'm like, nope. I can be real fast, but it's not going to last long.
Nope. Yeah. Nope. I mean, I graduated. I mean, a lot of people don't realize I graduated high school at 140 pounds. So if you imagine my height and 140 pounds, my nickname was Stick Boy. Because I was tiny, I was muscular because I played tennis. I played all that kind of stuff. But every sport I played was quick, you know, in tennis. It was that quick movement that you had to get, you know, to the ball and racquetball, quick movement. I never played any of the sports where I had to run for a distance. I mean, it's pretty much when I had to run the mile and PE, it never went well. I was good at that quick sprint, but, you know, the second I had to go for distance and, like, endurance, yeah, I was done.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but when I decided to lose weight 5 years ago, running is what did it for me. It was the one exercise I could do, get on the treadmill for half an hour and just go. And that's what did it for me. And I mean, I did half marathon after half marathon and told myself before my 40th birthday, I'm going to do that full. But then I got hurt. So I never did it. So now I've got 2 weeks to do that. So I made a goal and I'm going to meet it.
Good. And you will. I believe in you. And I'm excited for that.
It's going to be interesting, but I've got a lot of support. I mean, I know Emily Ford signed up basically just to make sure I finish. You know, and that's what I love about the Beasts. I posted, said, you know, I'm crazy. I'm doing this marathon because I said I would. And all of a sudden I got message after message of, do you need someone to go with you? Do you need some support? Do you need a teammate to help you? And I'm just like, wow, that's amazing. You know, and Emily didn't even ask. She just signed up and said, I'll be there. So, you know, that's what I love about the Beasts is that kind of support.
I agree, man.
They're like, you're going to do something stupid. Where do I sign up?
Yep.
So,
well, I'm going to go ahead and steal the spotlight and say we should go and take a quick little break to hear from our sponsors and then come back and we can dive more into the Beast team.
All right, I'll be right back.
Grant Harbor Unders makes the performance-based layer clothing you want and need. Whether you work, hunt, hike, fish, run, or ride in the great outdoors. If you work up a sweat, Gray's Harbor Unders are for you because their unique dual-layer fabric removes moisture from your body and keeps your skin dry, even when the outer layer is completely wet. It's a base layer like no other. Get you some at ghunders.com. That's ghunders.com for the best performance-based layer you'll ever wear.
What?
Huh? just so you know, during the break, I missed you guys.
Well, I missed you too.
Missed you. I got lonely there for a second, or 10 seconds. Or, only got in my life, but you know, I think I've got a little anxiety built up after that.
Oh, that's not good. You better go run.
Well, yeah, we should. I feel kind of dive into. Little more about the Beast team, unless you've got something else that you've got planned you want to talk about?
No, I agree. I think we should dive into the Beast and just kind of talk about where we're at with it, where, you know, like Zane said, he's running Portland workouts. Where we're going with all this?
Absolutely. How many workouts do we have going on right now? We have 5?
I think so.
Yeah, something close to that. So we've got Seattle, Kent, Portland, Marysville, and then Grey Harbor. We'll be back up next month. And a couple other ones too. So we've got some folks that want to put together some stuff on the Poland Peninsula. We have a couple folks up in the deep north that are starting to talk about things, folks down in the Tri-Cities areas. So, and you know, I think that's important, right? Because we were originally founded by, you know, a group of people that wanted to train, get together for races, right? So,
yeah.
Having kind of that core thing where, hey guys, let's get together, let's train, let's have some fun. I think that's really important, you know, and I think that's something that, you know, it's easy to stick to our roots, but let's just get together and look out. And, you know, we don't always know what we're doing, right? When we first started that kind of stuff, it was,
no.
You know, is this how we do a push-up? I'm not sure, but we're going to do this push-up, right? And I think having that kind of core value has really resonated for a lot of people.
Definitely.
You know, we're here and we're going to be here. And if you don't make it, that's fine. But know that you've got a place that you can go and look silly and be ridiculous and go, you know, do whatever. But we're going to be here and we're going to be training together. I think that's incredibly important.
It is. I mean, it's hugely important. I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, when the first time I talked about doing a Spartan with one of my friends, and they're like, yeah, if you fail an obstacle, you have to do 30 burpees. And I'm like, what's a burpee?
Yeah.
And that's what these are great for, is because people, you get to learn how to correctly do a burpee, how to correctly do all these workouts that everyone talks about. And you're just like, what is that? So, I mean, yeah, I love the workouts.
Yeah. Having taken over the PDX workout has been a blessing and an honor, and it's definitely challenged me to not only keep things fresh and new, but make things fun. And going back to the core value is something that we always make a point of at every workout, we let people know, hey, look, this is founded on peers leading peers, and we welcome any advice and any input. And, you know, if somebody wants to take a good 10-minute session in any workout and kind of try their hand at coaching the group, we definitely welcome that. And, yeah, ideas are always welcomed. It's a good environment to let everybody kind of test their own leadership abilities. And I think that's very important in our team as well as in our society to make sure that everybody's got the ability to lead at some point or another. It's a lot of fun. We constantly do the exercises and involve ourselves in the workout as well as coaching them. I don't like to be that guy that just stands around and tells everybody what to do. I want to be down in the mud doing it with you because I am your peer, not your leader. It's a good mindset to have, I think.
So let me lead you. Everyone will end up doing the hokey pokey.
That might come eventually. It's hard to say. So far, we've done tag. Oh man, we played a strange version of Duck Duck Goose where we did planks and bear crawls. It's been fun, man. It's challenging to find a game that kind of brings everybody back to their childhood and is a lot of fun and work in a little bit of sweat fest at the same time.
Yeah, you need to incorporate dodgeball. That's where it's at.
Yeah, that might come. Yeah. We're working on things, and it's been fun, and it's going to continue to be fun, and I'm excited for it every month.
And that's what I think is great. You know what I hear from everybody else, and I mean, I haven't made as many as I want to, but I've been to a couple of them. Is they're fun. I mean, it's not just like when you go to the gym and you have those, all right, this is exactly what we're going to do. And they're all like a cookie cutter workout that, you know, somebody put together 20 years ago and everyone's still doing the exact same thing. These workouts are fun. There's always something new. There's always something I never thought of. There's always something that keeps you giggling. And to be at a workout where I'm sweating, I'm miserable, and I want to die, but I'm still giggling and laughing is awesome. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's important. We want to keep people coming, obviously. And, you know, people are going to show up when they're having fun.
Exactly.
They will not show up if they're not having fun. So.
Yeah, and I mean, I coached sports for years, and that was always one of the things that I learned is if you make the sports or the workouts or whatever an actual workout, then people don't want to be there. But if you make it fun and make them enjoy what they're doing, they want to come back every week, and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm having such a blast and I'm having fun. And the weight loss and the physical everything is a byproduct of them having fun rather than being the only thing they're there for.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Well, yeah. And then, you know, as an added bonus, you throw in our great sponsor, Roadrunner Sports, and Lucy Crockett, who always got some crazy breakfast meal waiting for us when we're finished with our workout. Donuts, grilled cheese sandwiches, treats of all kinds.
I didn't come down to Portland
every month, giving stuff away for free, and it's not something that I ever wanted to miss even before I was leading the workout. So.
I need to come down to Portland. I mean, I just went to the Roadrunner up here in Kent and dropped $250 on new shoes. So, yeah, I need to go down to Portland, spend some time down there.
Yeah, we live it up down here, man. We had the Saucony rep out not this month, but last month. And everybody got to try on some Saucony trail runners.
Nice.
Throughout the entire 2-hour workout, you know, you had to kind of test them out. And then at the end of the workout, they gave away a free pair of Saucony Peregrines. It's always a good time, and there's always something extra to be had.
And see, that's cool, because that's one of the big issues that I have is I'm all about the shoes. And I mean, it sounds weird, but that was one of the things I almost quit running when I first started because of pain in my legs. And then I was went somewhere, did the whole running thing, had them see my gait, and they picked out the right shoes for me. And all of a sudden that pain went away. So ever since then, I'm like, okay, I need to make sure I have the right shoes. And finding those can be such a pain. And that's why it's so great when you have people like that show up and say, hey, wear my shoes for an hour and see what you think. Because you never know. Shoes, they're so different. It's amazing. I mean, the same size shoe, the same brand is completely different than the last model they had last year. It's nice to try them out and really before you go and spend $150 to, or I did today, $250 on shoes. So.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. And then I'm constantly definitely bragging about Roadrunner Sports. I mean, they do a lot for us, and they have the VIP package.
Yep, I'm like in that.
$20 a year or something.
Yeah.
And you can wear your shoes. I'm not just talking, you know, they've got to look shined and polished in order to return them. You can wear them through an OCR if you wanted to, thrash them, get them muddy, climb trees, whatever you want to do for the first 90 days and still return them for full price if they are not comfortable and you're not enjoying them.
Yeah.
I think that's fantastic, especially with the sports that we do.
Oh, it is. And I mean, that's one thing too, is it's like, you know, I went there today and they sold me on some socks that I'm going to try out and pretty much told me if I wear these socks and I get a blister, walk back in and they'll take them back. So I'm like, awesome. Because that's what killed me in Hawaii. It was my entire, both feet were blisters. It's like, cool, if these socks work, then there goes my one problem in Hawaii. I should have no excuse this year.
Yeah. Yeah, if your feet aren't taken care of, you're not a happy person in any sport.
No. And I mean, that's what's great about Roadrunner. They do what they can to make sure that your feet are taken care of. And they stand behind their product. So.
Yeah. Cool. Now, taking this on a side note here, with the upcoming holiday season, do you guys have any traditional workouts, I don't know, retreats, things that you do around, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, or maybe, you know, OCR or not, you know, what kind of things do you do around this time that might be a little bit different?
I don't have a whole lot.
Different? Go ahead, Mike.
I don't have a whole lot. I used to have a group of friends that we would play football every we had what we called our Turkey Bowl, and it was full on contact football out, you know, in the neighborhood we grew up in. But it's been probably 4 or 5 years since we kind of stopped it after I think the last year, like four of us ended up in the hospital because we're old, and it was one of those. Oh, yeah, dude. It was.
Extrapolate as to how you all ended up in the hospital.
It's like I said, it was full on contact football. And I mean, you know, we're not getting any younger. I mean, I'll be 40 this year. So, you know, a bunch of 35, 36 year olds out there, full on muddy, nasty, slipping and sliding in the mud. I think one of the guys broke a rib, another guy tore his knee. And I mean, it was just, you know, basically old age. We're out there trying to do the same thing we did when we were 20 years old, and we're just too old to do this now. So that was pretty much like the end of that. It was one of those, pretty much our wives ended it, and they're like, you know, you guys are done. This is over. Find a new tradition.
Sorry, kids. Christmas money has now been delegated to medical bills.
Yes, pretty much. So they're like, yep, nope, you guys are done with this. This is over. So now, I mean, really, that was the only tradition I ever had. I mean, that's pretty much gone. So now it's, I mean, this year we're going to try and start a new one and do a 5K, a virtual 5K Thanksgiving morning before we go over to my sister's. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So try and do that.
I don't do too much out of the ordinary. I eat until it hurts and then pass out. No, seriously though, winter time is a difficult one for me. It's dark all the time. It's just gloomy and it kind of gets me. So my workouts stick to indoors. That's when I get in the gym and start putting on some muscle mass. And, cause a lot of my cardio is spent in summertime, right? I'm outside running, hiking, doing that sort of thing. That's generally my winter routine. Doesn't sound like that routine.
No, not at all.
Survival.
Do you have anything?
How about yours, man? You look like you have just been everywhere. Iceland, yeah. I think you're.
Well, what do you mean like everywhere?
Every weekend, there's just pictures of you at the coast hiking around. You got your ruck on at all points in time. I don't even know if you take that off. Is it just?
I don't think he does. I think he just wears it to work and everything.
Yeah. I'm assuming that's true.
Yeah, he just wears it to work. Everywhere he goes, Adam's got his ruck on. You know, just puts his laptop in behind it. You know, whatever.
Finder ruck training. This is my third session, so it's there's three. They call them classes, right? They're 3 month long classes, and you know, part of ruck training is just rucking more. You know, having that weight on your back. I did take it to Iceland and wore it as much as I could. If we got out of the car, you know, went to go see a
waterfalls. It was, you know, 100 feet. Okay, grab my bag. All right, go. So as part of the requirements to complete the classes, you know, mileage. So this month I'm doing the middle one. It's called Pathfinder Endurance. 125 miles in 3 months. And then I'm also counting miles towards the 100 mile for rucking for GBF. Let's go ruck. It felt like it's been on my back a lot. I know I took it off the other day and I made some kind of like noise, and Janelle definitely looked at me a little funny. I think when I took it off, I was like, and then you
kind of one of those little whimper of joy. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Is that like the guy equivalent of like getting home and taking a bra off? I mean, maybe. I don't know. Or those baddest women that have the bra on the rock. I don't know, but maybe that's it.
Now, do you feel like a whole new human when you have it off? Like, you just move quicker? I feel like if I wore my weight vest just all day, every day, then I don't know. I'd feel like it'd be like some weird Dragon Ball Z phenomenon. Like, I just trained in a different field or something. You know, it feels like, gosh, you remember in Captain America when he goes in the machine and he's all scrawny and then he's like, you know, gets crazy and he comes out all beefcake?
Yeah.
I feel
beefcake.
Like Captain America. As soon as I take it off, I'm like, oh man, that's so strong. I mean, how long have you been working towards this?
A while. So this is my third session. The first one, the Pathfinder Ford, is kind of that first class. And it's run by All Day Ruckoff. And actually, I gotta get the name of the guy. He's local to the Pacific Northwest. And he's participating in it. Pathfinder's run by Lyle Peterson on the East Coast, but huge advocate up here in the Pacific Northwest as far as rucking and endurance culture. Yeah, I did Pathfinder Ford in class 12, class 13. I just didn't hit my requirements. You know, and it's on the honor system, right? I could have said, you know, I made the miles. I could have said I made the challenges, because there are challenges you have to do too, in addition to, you know, workouts and what have you. And I simply just didn't hit the cut. And I could say I was busy or I had things going on. And, you know, I can look back and find anything. I just didn't hit it. So this is my third session. I plan to do the next one that starts up, I think, February. It's a lot of fun. I started it with the goal of getting into a little bit more go-ruck, getting into the culture, and just submersing myself, getting better. Eventually, I feel like an idiot saying this, and somewhere, somehow, I want to show up and go to selection and just get through the selection test. Now, if I get through that, I'm going to be happy. Now, you know, if I get creamed 5 minutes later and they tell me to leave, I'm going to be okay with that. But if I can just pass the selection, you know, not just necessarily the welcoming party, but that first test where, you know, you've got the 5 mile run, you've got the timed 12 mile run, and more, then I'd be happy. So that's kind of, I think the first step is just getting used to having it on all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's an awesome goal. I think selection would be an amazing experience.
And that's what's cool.
I'm going to have my butt handed.
But that's what's cool about the Beast is the fact that all of us are at different levels and doing different things. You're, you know, working on this for, you know, the ruck. You know, I'm happy just, you know, finishing a Spartan at this point. But we're all just different levels, but we all help each other and work together. That's what I love about the Beast.
Absolutely. Yeah. Definitely. And that's something I wanted to touch on earlier when we were discussing the team is, you know, a lot of people out there are intimidated not only by Spartan Race and OCR, but just by fitness in general. It can be a very intimidating journey to begin. And I love that we have over 1,700 members now. And, I mean, we show up at a race and we're at least 150 strong. And we have such an amazing, supportive, and positive group. The aura around the environment is just so amazing all the time. No matter your shape, size, age. capabilities, everybody is welcomed, and everybody is so welcoming to each individual. And it's like magic, man. It's just crazy. It turned my life around, and I love to share this with other people because I have seen it turn around so many other lives as well, and it's amazing. It's just so. I never want anybody to feel intimidated about jumping in the team or going to a race, because we do have that divide between capabilities. I mean, we've got our elite runners, we've got our average runners, and we've got the turtle group, you know, and if somebody's ever intimidated, you just jump right in with the turtle group and you hang out all day and you basically hike the course and you have a good time and you learn about yourself and you get to know people and make friends.
Yeah. And the nice thing too is that turtle group most time too is also one of the last groups. So they catch, you know, they can catch any beasts that are falling back and make sure that, you know, it's almost like the sweeper team. They come through and make sure that all the beasts are going to finish. So, So,
well, and you know, I think we're in this interesting place as a team. You know, we have so many different individuals going for different things. You know, we had folks down at World's Toughest Mudder. You know, a high school friend of mine hit 45 miles this year. That was his goal, to hit 45, and he got up to, I think, 35, which is incredible. That's no easy thing. We've got folks that all they do is run. We've got folks that just starting their journey. And it's really interesting. I've been really trying to talk to people to kind of figure out what they find is the biggest wall they hit in their journey. You know, folks that are going out there and hitting podiums. We've got folks that are just starting. And I think the biggest thing we see is discipline is the biggest wall that kind of hits people. And, you know, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter how good you are, how long you've been doing it. It's discipline, right? I think Jocko Willink said it best in his book, you know, discipline equals freedom. You know, you got to find your will to find your discipline, and then you're going to find your freedom. And it's really interesting. So we have folks that go out and they do these things and they get through it, and it's kind of like, what's next? And, you know, what's stopping me from getting that next level? And it's interesting because so many different areas, but that's, I think, the most common wall that I hear people talk about. And it's, you know, it's not necessarily grit, right? Like, I see some of our folks who've just been saying grit, but that have gone through and done crazy things. Like, there was a guy on the 24 that, you know, there was a couple of them. They've never done anything like that before. And they went through and talked it out, did it, and completed it, and it was amazing. But, you know, they're also going out and doing other things that maybe you want to think of as discipline. So, you know, and don't take it as wrong. I'm not slandering anybody, but, you know, as a team, it's interesting to see so many walks of life run to that same wall, right? I mean, it sucks to wake up at 4:03 to go train in the morning to do this. If that's what your goal is, then isn't that what you should be doing? Or are you going to do what you say you're going to do?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Discipline is key, and that is a huge hurdle. In every aspect of life. I mean, like you said, waking up at 4:00 in the morning to go out for a run, or just even doing a run at any point in the day. I hate running. That is one of my least favorite activities to do. I'm extremely ADHD, so I'm bored as hell out there every step of the way, and I don't like it.
I can see that.
But then you can also look at eating. Eating healthy, it definitely takes discipline. Everything, just all of it. I mean, it does.
Oh, I agree completely. It does. I mean, because I'll be honest, right now, one of my biggest problems is I'm the biggest I've been in a long time. And it took me a long time because I kept thinking about this. I'm like, I've been watching my eating. I've been watching everything else. But there's certain things you forget that I didn't think about. And it wasn't until I really sat down the other day and thought about it. Ever since I quit smoking, I've almost tripled my mocha intake. I'm having 2 or 3 mochas a day. And then I started thinking about it. I'm like, you know, the ones I get, those are almost 1,000 calories a pop. So I'm pretty much getting my entire, calorie intake through my drinks. And then I'm eating after that. And it's like, so it's not my eating. Yeah. It's actually my drinking, you know, of mochas that has become my problem. Like, okay, now I know now that I've recognized the problem, I need to make sure and cut those out and figure out another way, something else to fill that void that's healthy. So, you know, it's something that's one of part of the discipline, though, is to figure out what it is, because a lot of times you have that problem like I did, where I cut out the smoking, I cut out a horrible habit, but then I filled the void with something that caused a whole nother problem. So now my lungs are great, but I've gained 20 pounds. So
yeah, that happens. I ate a ham and cheese hot pocket the other day for the first time in probably like 12, 15 years. I don't know. And I thought to myself, I am a piece of crap right now. I usually eat pretty clean, and it was a weird moment for me to be doing that, and it kind of made me take a look at getting my priorities back in line and getting back into healthier eating.
Yeah, and that's kind of my thing. I mean, this next Sunday, I mean, I am not prepared like I should be to do this marathon, but I just keep telling myself, I've told myself for years that before my 40th birthday, I will do this. And I procrastinated till the last minute. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to push myself through this. And mentally, I'm going to make it through. I might hurt. It might be sore, but it's my own fault. So.
Yeah. Well, and that's another thing that I try to discuss with people when they say, oh, you do Spartan race. That's crazy. I could never do that. And here's A, B, and C, why? And, you know, I let them know, hey, there is people who are bigger and slower and, you know, sure, you might go out and it's possible to spend 5, 6, 7 hours running a 5K. But it's all about finishing and pushing yourself through to the end. And you learn so much about yourself, and just the completion of one goal, I feel, sparks so many new goals in your psyche, and just keeps driving the train.
Oh, it does. I mean, it's like, you know, when I did my first Spartan, you know, I've said before, I started with the Montana in 2015. And when I finished the race, first words out of my mouth is, I'm never doing this crap again. I'm done. This was stupid. But then I'm looking at that medal in my hand and I'm like, well, I've got this and I've got this little pie piece. Now I want the trifecta. So. Yeah. And that's kind of what started it, is I did that one race and I'm like, cool, I got this one. Well, that was supposed to be the hardest one. Now I can get this trifecta. Let's finish this battle. And then the next year, well, now that I got one, I want multiple trifectas. And the next year I got two. Yeah. And then this year I got three. And, you know, it's kind of one of those, you start, once you get one goal, you set yourself a higher goal. And that's kind of what keeps you going and makes you better. I don't race against anybody when I'm out on that course but myself. I want to better who I was yesterday. I want to do better than I was yesterday. And that's my entire goal. So, and that's what I love about the Beast, is the Beast helps me do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. We're constantly driving each other, pushing each other to new boundaries. And I think that's amazing. And then, you know, another large obstacle for everyone is finances, and the fact that we have a large team and we can go anywhere we want. We can carpool. We can, share a house, we can share a hotel room. It brings something that's typically out of reach, I feel, for the average person, and just puts it in your lap and kind of gets rid of all major excuses.
It does, because it's like Montana this year. We had one of our teammates who wanted to go to Montana, and like, I was going to go, but I can't afford it, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, what can't you afford? And they're like, well, I need a place to stay. I'm like, well, we're all got a house. Let's see if there's room. There was. And then she's like, well, who am I going to ride with? I'm like, I got an extra seat. So you want to ride with me?
Yeah.
And they're like, okay. I'm like, okay, what else excuse do you got? What excuse do you have now that we can fix? You know, and that's, I've done that with so many people. Cause I mean, I do street team and I volunteer. I get so many free races for Spartan every year that I end up giving them away cause I can't use them all. And I have so many friends that are like, I can never do that. It's too expensive. I'm like, here's a free race code. What else you got? What you got now? Come on. Let's see what other excuse I can get rid of for you. You know, and that's kind of just the Beast. I mean, I've seen that multiple times with the Beast too. Hey, I want to do this race, but I don't have money. Four or five people. Here's a race code. What's next? Let's figure this out. So,
yeah. And that's what I love about the workouts too, is, you know, I want everybody to come and I want everybody to push their boundaries and find their limits. And then once they've found their limits, we will all work together to help them break their limits and create a new one.
Exactly.
And
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right.
So we kind of covered a breadth of topics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of them.
No, I love it. I think that's a great way to get, you know, folks introduced to kind of who we are. Back to...
Apparently, we're all ADHD and can't say what topic.
That's cool, right?
Yep.
Totally cool. Gosh, what else are we doing? We got Rucksgiving going on.
Yeah.
That's a cool deal.
I've seen that.
That's kind of a good tradition. Any of you guys hitting the one down at Tacoma or Portland?
I'm not. I'm kind of doing just the thing with the family this year. We're doing our 5K, but I have thought about getting a ruck and just rucking myself so that I can start getting into that and just because I think that's something that will really help me with what I'm trying to do. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to be at a Rucksgiving location. We are going up for Thanksgiving to Montesano, just outside of Aberdeen, where mm-hmm. Marissa's grandmother lives. And she's like 91 years old, so somewhere in the relative age span of dirt. And we're going to spend the night with her. And then I'm going to come back down. Somebody's wanting to go Black Friday shopping, as crazy as that is. So no. I decided that I'm going to wear my ruck around with my weight plates in it and hang out. Maybe I'll throw on the boxing gloves and beat some old ladies away from the socks or something. I'm not sure how
that's going to say. You might want to wear some armor.
It'll be an adventure. Maybe I'll try to take some crazy pictures and make some fun out of it. But
that would be awesome.
Wait on my back and go shopping, I guess.
So for those of you that don't know, Rucksgiving is kind of a fun tradition of ours. Essentially, what it is rucking. So you carry a bag, you get weight or other goodies in it, and you go walk around the train or do silly things like burpees in the water. With dragons or something. And so Rucksgiving is kind of taking that and then giving something that's selfless as well. So minimum that we ask people to do is ruck 5K, find a place that needs something that is charitable. So if it's food, if it's, a clothing bank, if it's, your great aunt Jill and she just needs more cat videos, whatever. It's something that you can put in your bag and go carry somewhere to give to somebody. If you want to put in your time, awesome. It's totally cool about that kind of stuff, but it's really just about doing something good. We usually have a couple different groups that, totally cool. We have some folks that go do some stuff solo. We have some groups that go out and do things for the food bank. We've got one for Dravid that one of our pieces put together in Tacoma. That's really cool. It's just about having fun and giving back and training at the same time. We're masochists or something.
Yeah, we're insane. Slightly.
I love it, man. Fill your bag with 50 pounds of canned food and drop it off somewhere. It's a great idea.
It is, actually.
Bring back the Skittles to sandbag or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Fill your sandbag with corn. No.
that might actually be pretty fun.
That might be kind of messy, though. It's a little bit.
You could carry 30 pounds of Skittles.
But,
the Washougal Hurricane Heat this year was a personal item you had to bring. And, whatever you want, but it had to weigh, 18 pounds. And I ended up making a sandbag out of Skittles. And, it was like 23 pounds. But carried the thing in my bag the whole time, 4 or 5 hours go by. Then at the end of the event, like, all right, guys, who wants some Skittles? Open it up. And just, I think that was my giving. Here's some Skittles. Take home 3 pounds.
Get these away from me.
Taste the rainbow bird higher. Right?
That's awesome.
Love it. I'll remember that forever. Love to bring it.
Jeez.
Consequently, when you go and buy $60 worth of Skittles at the store, that raises a lot of questions.
They just think you're Marshawn Lynch.
I'm sure they probably asked if you had your insulin with you.
Because you were going to need it.
A little bit, right?
Jeez.
All right, guys. Well, I think we burned some time here. We have talked about a lot of fun things. Thank you so much for hanging out today. Folks, if you're still listening, thank you so much. Hope you had fun getting to know us a little bit. We're a little ridiculous. And we'll see you next week.
Yep. See you next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Fun, guys.
Thanks for listening to the BeastNet podcast.
brought to you by the Beast OCR. Don't forget to subscribe and let us know what you think and what you'd like to hear. Like us? Great. Join us at Facebook or beastocr.com. And thank you.